to continue today in Colossians. We've been doing a series on Colossians off and on here. We had theater camp. We had our outreach last week. And this week, we're going to continue on Colossians 3, using verses 12 through 17. If you need to find Colossians, right, we have the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And, you know, and then there's these epistles that Paul wrote, and the best way that I can explain them is God's Electric Power Company. That's how I know how to find them. So they're right after the letters to the Corinthians and God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Somebody told me that way back when, and I have held fast to it. It helps me find everything in order. But anyway, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. I'll read it, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into it, okay? So here we go. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this word and the encouragement that it has for us as we put off the old and put on the new. And God, you've given us very specific instructions of what our new life in Christ would look like. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that this word would be transforming today in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the name of my sermon today is called Say Yes to the Dress. Has anybody ever watched the show Say Yes to the Dress? Okay. I actually had never heard of it before. I don't have cable. But in a meeting just recently, Karen Brown had shared Say Yes to the Dress, and so I wanted to look it up. And Say Yes to the Dress is an American reality TV program that's on TLC, which follows the events at Kleinfeld Bridal in Manhattan. The series shows the progress of individual sales associates, the managers, the fitters at the store, along with profiling the brides as they search for the perfect wedding dress. Common themes include overwhelming advice of friends and family, the ability of the perfect dress to help a bride overcome personal difficulties, struggles with weight and body image concerns, and the challenge of staying on their budget, these poor ladies, especially in the case of dresses by their exclusive designer, Panina Tornai, one of the few designers ever mentioned on the show. And dresses sold on the show range from, ready, $1,300 to $40,000. Okay? Say yes to the dress. And I found myself having to watch an episode or two to try to kind of figure out the dynamics of this. What is so important about this show, Say Yes to the Dress? What is it feeding? What's going on that makes a show like this pretty popular? And all I can think of is that need, that understanding that we have of our physical appearance and how that's really important, that somehow, especially for the ladies on the show, and of course there's a lot of drama and a lot of stories, but somehow the perfect outfit will make everything better, right? Just the right dress will fix everything, right? Well, we're certainly in need of some new clothes, right? If we go back to what we talked about, it's been 3 weeks now since we did the first part of Colossians 3, that we ended that part being naked before God. Does anybody remember? Well, let me remind you. The last time, it was part three of my sermon that day, was talking about looking in. And Colossians 9 and 10 says this in the Message translation. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Anybody ever burn old clothes? Something that's so nasty and so, Like, I can't even donate it. I'm burning it. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by your creator with his label on it. And all the old fashions are now obsolete. Amen? So when we are new in Christ, God gives us this new wardrobe. The old is gone. And what we talked about last time are all these nasty things, these anger and bitterness and rudeness, all these things that we have to put aside, the old nature. And we talked about that we had to put it to death. It wasn't just kind of like set it aside, maybe turn our back on it, smack it. No, put the thing to death. It's a very violent image, but we have to kill the old self. Because we're made in the image of our Creator, all right? If we take off the old and put on the new, we need to make sure that we're just not covering up a bunch of nasty stuff on the inside with a false outside, right? Jesus even talked about that. He says, you look like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, everything looks pure and beautiful, but in the inside, it's full of rottenness and death and destruction. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And I shared a story 3 weeks ago, bless his heart, that just left Leighton in his little dance when he was about 3 years old about wanting, it's great to be naked. And he used to run around before bath time or shower time and and dance and sing how great it was. And remember, we talked about how beautiful it is to be naked before God. Right? Spiritually naked, emotionally naked, exposed so that we are unafraid to stand before the Lord God Almighty in who we are. We're naked. We are coming before him with everything that we are because he already knows who we are. But we want to start exposing some of this stuff to the light that maybe we've had hidden in the darkness. And we talked about cleaning our houses out, right? Not just that kind of getting rid of the clutter when we have somebody coming over for dinner, but a true spring cleaning or a fall cleaning where we get underneath everything and on top of everything and everything is pristine and clean because you're not forgetting about this unknown thing over here in the corner. Every part of our spiritual being is clean and standing before God. It is truly the way that God designed us to be, right? Before we're able to put on masks, we're good at putting on masks and pretending to be something that we're not. False identities, impure thoughts and actions, all of that stuff gets put on the image that God has created us to be. So we need to get naked and allow God to redress us, as it were, right? And we talked about kingdom fashion. Well, this week, we're going to talk about what kingdom fashion actually looks like. So Paul gives us a few ideas of kingdom dress, and this is what we should be saying yes to. When we want to say yes to the dress, we're going to say yes to what God wants to clothe us with, right? Even today we sang, my one defense, my righteousness. We clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ. In the beginning of today's passage, it says this, therefore, as God's chosen people. That's really the critical part, isn't it? If we identify as Christ followers, if we are God's chosen people, right, the therefore is because it's talking about all the things behind, right? Everything that we were supposed to take off. And then he's saying, therefore, as God's chosen people, you need to put on these new things. So as we identify as followers of Christ, we know that we now have to put on the new nature. It's critical. It's because of who we are in Christ that we have the option of putting on new attire. And we're not limited, unlike the ladies in the show. We are not limited by our budget. But the new life, right, the new wardrobe that we have has been purchased for us. Amen? It's free. Free in Christ. So I want to look at the first list. Now we're getting dressed. We are now naked before God. What is the first thing that we're going to put on? The undergarments, right? Well, this is our undergarments. This first list is what Paul is saying. This is the first thing that you have to address. This is the first thing that you're putting on because everything else isn't going to look right unless you get all of this right. All right, so he says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Right, ladies? You can probably attest to this. Nothing quite like having the right undergarments on. Right? Everything that you wear looks better if you have the right stuff on underneath. Right? It might not be so critical for the guys, but I know, ladies, you know, when you have the right thing on, everything else feels right, it fits right, it's much better. And so it is with our spiritual being, the things that we put on. We can put on a false pretense all the time. And if the under stuff isn't right, it's not going to sit right, it's not going to look right, and eventually you're going to be found out. So we can profess to be loving, we can profess to be joy-filled, we can profess to love one another, and profess to be Christ followers. But honestly, if the under stuff isn't right, if we're not girding it with compassion and humility and stepping ourselves down and putting Christ first, others first, all of it means nothing. So, this is it's the root of all our behavior and the basics of how we add more. If we're clothed in these things, everything else will appear the way it was designed. Why? Because if our love and joy is not backed up with humility and patience, it will burn out, like I said, or possibly even injure. Have you experienced that in your own lives? Sometimes Christ followers or people that are trying to follow Christ are putting on a nature that they have not yet undergirded with something else. And what happens is they come out and they injure others in the name of Christ because compassion is not there. Humility is not there. It's critical to have that first. It will reveal itself over time as being of no substance. So we want to make sure that our undergarments are right. That first list that Paul gives us helps us to be a blessing to others and to modify our behavior. Right? Everything that I just listed in verse 12, it's really not about us and blessing ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. Right? Christ told us is that how we love one another is how we will display our love for him. And so all of that has to be girded in things with compassion and humility, or we will not be loving the way that God designed us to love. Okay, so we have our undergarments right. The next layer is forgiveness. And he says to forgive one another, and even more than that, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You know, and I understand that forgiveness is hard. So he's giving us two sides of it, all right? When we live in community like this, families, church bodies, the body of Christ, right? We need to bear with one another. That means extending grace with one another. I don't know if you've ever been in a small group or even on here on a Sunday morning. It's possible that people will rub you the wrong way. Am I right? No, nobody ever rubs me the wrong way at church. Everybody's perfect. But Paul is telling us that we have to bear with one another. That means that sometimes you kind of have to go and forgive, right? We bear, we support, we encourage, we bear with one another because every last one of us is frail. Every last one of us has the opportunity to injure. Every last one of us will make a mistake at some point and quite possibly offend. Amen? I've done it. And so we need to know that we have to bear with one another and to be able to forgive. And, you know, sometimes I know, you know, but Pastor Debbie, you don't know what they've done. It doesn't matter. Now, the next sentence actually really kind of points that out. Ready? He says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I was like, ooh. Because sometimes we go, oh, I can't forgive. And I've heard that with people. You know, I've counseled with people, and they've been truly injured and hurt by somebody else, and they're having a hard time forgiving. But we are called and told and admonished to forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's hard. But even God has told us, right? How many times do I forgive? 7 times? Well, I would tell you 70 times 7. over and over and over again. We are called to forgive no matter what. Forgiveness, you know, we did a whole sermon a couple months ago about forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is a choice. It doesn't excuse the behavior. It doesn't say that the behavior was ever okay, but it's forgiveness. Because God, that's what God is asking us to do. It's our spiritual state. It's our heart state. It has nothing to do with the other human being. We forgive. And then he says, over all of these. Now, so all these young ladies and say yes to the dress, they go with their designers, and their fans, the friends and family all sitting there in the room, and they pick out, of course, you know, I don't know if you've watched the thing, but they go into these racks and racks and racks of things that are all white. Me, I have such, like, inability to focus. I would never be able to find whatever they were. They go in there, and they're just like, that's the one. And then they bring them in the little dressing room, and they put them out. And then everybody's sitting on the bench out there in the lobby, and they come out. And everybody goes, oh, my gosh, that's the one! La, la, la. All right. So, like Paul says, once we've chosen our, over all of these, right, the initial thing that people see when you walk into the room, like for them, right, that pow, wow factor. Well, what is it? What does Paul say in the next verse, right? And we're all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. That is the thing that people will see. That's the wow factor. Has nothing to do with our physical appearance, right? If we have love, the way that God emits love, the way that God loves us, if we are walking around abounding in love, that's going to be a natural wow factor when you come in a room. And I don't know if you've been around those kind of people as they come into a room or you enter into a room where somebody is just filled with the joy of the Lord and operating in his gifts and his love. You can see it. Can't you see it? Has anybody like seen one of those people in their lives where you just go, I know this person. I know this person. I've seen it, and you can't miss it. It has nothing to do with what they have on. They could be in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. But if they are sitting there radiating the love of God, there's something beautiful and attractive and that draws us in. We want to be around that. And that is the Spirit of God. Over all these virtues put on love, which binds you together in perfect unity. It's kind of like the perfect accessory that ties the whole outfit together. Right? So you might have just the right shirt, right dress, but something, it's missing a little something, something, and then you have the right necklace or the right hat or the right bag, sorry guys, the right tie. You might have a nice shirt and suit coat and then pow, the right tie, right? It pulls it all together. Well, love binds everything together. Because admit it, we've seen it. People all dressed up, but poorly behaved. Anyone? Doesn't matter. Sometimes we can be all dressed up and yet be poorly behaved. Ever hear the phrase, you can dress him up, dress her up, but you can't take them anywhere? Let's not be those people. So once we've chosen our kingdom attire and what it's supposed to look like, our behavior should reflect this new wardrobe. And so I want to go on that. So it doesn't matter. We can have all of the right outfits on, but if our behavior, how we act out our faith, doesn't match up to what we have on, it's not going to work. So starting in verses 15 through 17, he says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's four things I just want to highlight in there. Number one, the first thing is to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And the term peace that's used here is more wholeness. All right, we think peace is absence of strife. And that's part of it, but it's a wholeness. It's resting in God so much that there's zero conflict in relationships. It's a complete absence of conflict in your relationship. So we want to let that peace dwell in our hearts so that we're interacting with one another as Christ would have us react. In the Old Testament, in Proverbs, in chapters 19, verse 11, it says this: a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Now, I love that because it kind of ties in everything that we had just talked about. Remember the undergarments? That talked about having patience with one another, right? A person's wisdom yields patience. Once we understand God's word and his call on our life, that wisdom that God gives us, that understanding, should breed patience in our lives. And that we're able, because of that patience, to overlook offense. And when we're able to overlook offense, we're able to live in peace and harmony. Amen? Bearing with one another, not holding on to offenses. The second one is to be thankful. I like it, just a short little sentence, right? Let the peace of Christ rule. And he goes, and be thankful. Now, lest we think that that little short sentence doesn't mean much, I mean, you'll see how it all kind of ties in over and over again about our thankfulness, our attitude of gratitude, and actually how that manifests itself in our lives. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. All right, and this goes back, it's going to remind you of number one that I just said about peace. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. And what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's something about being thankful that breeds peace in our lives. The more that we focus on the blessings of God, the more that we will have peace in our lives. The more that we focus on the good that is going on, the more that we will not be grumbling. The more that we focus on God's blessings, the more that we will realize how much he loves us. He'll, right? It goes on and on like this beautiful circle. We focus on God's love. We go, oh my gosh, God loves us so much. I'm so thankful for God's love. I'm going to rest in that today. I'm not going to worry about a thing, right? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let all your requests be known to God. We can rest in the assurance that God's got it handled. And that's how thankfulness and peace are related. In addition, gratitude is a safeguard against grumbling and complaining, both of which can ruin community. And I bring that up because it can happen, right? So especially in, we are going to go into a season now of small groups. All it takes is a seed of one little complaint. And in small groups, leaders, whoever's going to be leading a group, any of that kind of stuff needs to be squashed. We had an experience about a year or so ago. There was a small group that started to complain, one little seed of complaint. And I'm going to tell you right now, outside of one lady that was in that group, they're all gone. Every last one of them. Because it was allowed to exist, the complaint went out there, and it was fed. And that grumbling and complaining, so instead of resting in peace, it took them out. Now, I pray that they have found another church. I don't know if they have. But that's how the enemy works, you know. It's just a little seed of doubt, a little seed of grumbling and complaining. And it's not that people are above reproach. I would say if you ever have an issue with anything that I've said, that I would invite you to come and have that conversation with me. And that's like anybody else. That's Matthew 18. We're supposed to go to one another if there's a complaint, right? And talk to one another in love so that there's understanding and confirmation. So that being said, we need to be very careful that we are showing an attitude of gratitude and not allowing that seed of, you know, misery to grow, because it will take you out. Breaks my heart. That was serious, wasn't it? Sorry. It's the truth, though, okay? And I want to speak truth from up here, even though it might be difficult to hear sometimes. All right, number three. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we've talked about this. I feel like I'm on this like bandwagon. Renewing your mind, okay? And so when we talk about letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it's that word, that transforming word, the gospel, the truth of what the gospel is, and how if it's in us and dwelling in us, how that's going to change us, change our minds, change our behavior, change how we respond to one another, change whether or not a simple offense will take root and become bitterness or be forgotten, released, peace, love, joy. All of that comes from being people of the word and allowing that to dwell in us all the time, so that you find yourself in any situation, if you're going through a difficult time, what's the first thing that might come to mind? Hopefully scripture, as God's word comes back into your life and you start praying those promises back to him. That means it's dwelling richly, richly. Not just kind of scantily on the outside. Richly, we want God's word to be dwelling richly within our hearts and our minds so that we can be transformed and that our minds become renewed. This enables us to teach one another. Do you know that it's the body of Christ that encourages and builds up the body of Christ? In God's word, it says, let us not forsake meeting. Why? So that we can encourage one another. So it's not just me, a talking head up here, encouraging, teaching, discipling, but Mr. Moody's going to be discipling and teaching people in the School of Healing Prayer, people in the small groups. As we get together, I see it and I witness it. When everybody's having coffee and treats out there, there's discipling going on, there's prayer going on, there's teaching one another, and I can see it. And the more you raise each other up and encourage each other in the things of God, the more that you're going to feed and nurture one another. And that's the health, that's a healthy body of Christ. When we all come in and kind of expect to be fed and we're not actually speaking into one another's lives, that would be unhealthy. Because God's vision is the body takes care of the body, okay? So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so that you can encourage one another. And then it says to sing the word with thankfulness in your heart again. And then number four. He says, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, to the Father through him. That is critical. You know, it says, do everything in the name of who? Just Jesus? Yes, but he says the Lord Jesus. When we understand our right standing before God, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's Lord. And if we understand that and everything's in perspective, then everything else falls in line, right? We want to keep Christ at the center. And if that's the case, then we can't help but glorify him in our behavior, especially, again, if we are truly thankful. So I guess my question for you today, before we close, is, are you thankful today? And are you thankful for your salvation? Now that presumes, of course, that everybody here has made a decision to follow Christ. And if that's something you've never had a chance to do, I encourage you to come and speak with me after church today, okay? Don't let today go without having the opportunity to make that decision to follow Christ. Are we thankful today for new life in Christ? Right? Old life is gone, new life has come. Are we thankful for that? I was at a funeral yesterday for a longtime family friend, and it was the dad, and they had three sons. And growing up with these guys, you'd have never thought necessarily that these guys were going to follow Christ, okay? Three boys, 2 years apart. They were crazy to grow up with. But it was beautiful to see how God's gotten a hold of them and how they're serving the Lord now. And so I was able to go and visit with these people, but we were able to share one to the other our thankfulness of where we are in Christ. I was able to share, God has brought me so far, you know, and they knew me when too. And it was a joy to be able to testify about God's goodness, his grace, his mercy. And that's what it is. Are we thankful? I'm so thankful. Are we thankful for new life? Are we thankful for for the new wardrobe that God has clothed us in, that righteousness that we are clothed in Christ, covered in the blood of Christ, that everything that we put on that is Christ-like is beautiful, glorious. We're arrayed in splendor because we're arrayed in Christ. It's like having the best shopping spree you could possibly have, if that's your thing, but never really having to leave home. Every spiritual item, everything that we could possibly want has been given to us already. We just have to be willing to put them on. They're already hanging in your closet. But we have to be sure to make sure that we're getting dressed in right order, right? Socks before the shoes, compassion before our love. So I encourage you to wear your outfits boldly, to rock your new outfit, right? You know what, when you get a brand new outfit and you're going out, you're excited, right? I have my new outfit, I got my new shoes, looking like a sharp-dressed man right way back when. We should be the same way with our spiritual attire in Christ. We're excited to go out, we're excited to share, we're excited to wear it. And not embarrassed to profess our belief, our faith, to show our faith, and to wear it boldly. So rock your outfit, wear it boldly, and say yes to the dress. And give glory to God each and every day for what he's attired us with. Ready? You ready to say yes to what God wants to put on you today? Say yes to the dress. All right, and all God's people say yes. All right, hallelujah. Would you stand? I just would like to sing chorus of that song one more time. I need you. Just simply because all of this is great, but without the heart change that comes first of knowing that we need to follow after Christ, that change that happens within us to know that we are dependent on God, on each and every aspect of our lives so that we can profess our need and know that in humility, as we come before the Lord, you know, if I kneel before God and say, God, I need you today. You know, I'm incapable of putting on forgiveness, compassion, depending on what we're going through in our situations, what we're walking through. It's not always easy to put on the things that God is telling us to put on, right? If we were all going to just be honest with one another, is it always easy to forgive? Is it always easy to walk in complete compassion and love for one another, that agape love that God calls us to? Sometimes we're just angry. And so we need to go, God, I need you. I need you today because I need you to fill my heart with your love, your compassion, your patience, so that I can wear what you want to attire me in, but to your glory and not my own. I don't want people to see me. I want to be invisible. I want to hide behind the cross of Christ so that they see him first. Amen? So, if you would join us, Cammy, thank you, and just singing that chorus a couple times before we part today. Amen?
My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, that we can be arrayed in splendor, just like the lilies of the field, oh God, so beautiful to behold, but that it's so much more than what we wear in the natural, God, that you have given us beautiful things. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you're with us as we continue to seek to serve you and to put on these things, that they become as natural as breathing, God, compassion and patience and love and forgiveness, oh God. Be with us and strengthen us, encourage us as we continue to walk out this faith and enable us to say yes each and every day with joy in our hearts, thankfulness, oh God, for our salvation. Thank you, and your love. Oh, Lord, your love, come down. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name today, O God, each and every day. May we continue to glorify you and reflect your face in everything that we do. Thank you, God. Be with us this week, O God. Be with your people. I pray your blessing upon them, God, as they go today, O Lord, and as they share around tables and fellowship, God, and as they go back to school. Lord, be with them. Continue to shine your light through them. May they continue to be the hands and feet of Christ in every place that they go, whether they're going to work or visiting family, visiting a shut-in, somebody in the hospital, at the schools, oh God, no matter where they go, may they continue to shine your love and your light. Thank you, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be blessed.